Good morning. Today is going to be fun. This is the smaller portion of Joshua, that probably the smallest that we'll take in this series, in this book. And it comes at a point where, if you remember, the overall flow so far is that the Israelites, they crossed the River Jordan, they entered into the land, they've had the Battle of Jericho. They took Jericho successfully, you remember. Then they had the whole episode with Achan, the man who took some of the items from Jericho, and then the whole nation became under God's wrath. They dealt with Achan by removing him from the camp, and then they went and fought Ai again, and they took Ai, and they covered Ai, they piled up stones over Ai. And so they're established now in the land. And they're about in the middle of the land. They've got a portion of the promised land to the north and a portion to the south. And there's still lots of other cities and people that God has promised to them. All of this land will belong to them and they will defeat these people that live there. But they've made a beachhead. And they've sort of lived out, as it were, at least two of the ways that their future could look, either success, Jericho, or defeat, Achan and Ai. And they come now to a point where they have a ceremony together. And this is the fourth pile of stones. Crossing the river, if you remember, there was a pile of stones to demonstrate that they had been carried in. It was God's grace that was giving them this land. It was a gift. It wasn't because of their righteousness. Achan, they piled up stones over him. And that would have been a memory. If we attach ourselves to the things of the land, we will become destroyed like the things of the land. If we get contaminated by the world and we're not a pure people, we will become devoted to destruction like all those who are in opposition to God are. And a pile of stones over Ai. This is the victory that God will give to us. This is our success laid out before us. And now there's another pile of stones. And on this pile of stones is written the law. So, and there in the presence, this is verse 32, of the people of Israel, he wrote, that's Joshua, on the stones, a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. The focus in these verses is on the law of Moses, because what the people of Israel need to know is that they are a people of the book, and specifically they're a people of the book of the law of Moses. So when this book of Joshua has been read to Israelites back in the day, and they're looking out at their situation and they're finding themselves in conflict with the Philistines and they're finding raids happening on their towns and they're afraid for the health and the state of the nation, they should read Joshua and they should say, hey, let's go back and learn the lessons from Joshua. And now they're at the point of learning the lesson that we as the people of Israel are people of the book of the law. That's what we are. And our future is decided on whether or not we keep the law. If we're an obedient people to the law, we will walk in blessing. If we're disobedient to the law, we will find ourselves under a curse. We need to remember that the law of Moses is the law by which we live or die. There's a couple of times in these verses where we see something that's highlighted throughout the whole book. And so if you've got your Bible, I'll show you. It's in verse 31, but I'll just read from verse 30 just to get the context. It says, at that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Here's the phrase, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel. It's there, and that's the phrase there in verse 31. And if we move down just a little bit, we see that we have the same idea. This is verse 33. And all Israel sojourner as well as native born. A sojourner is somebody who is not a native, but they live temporarily in the land. So they're, we have the phrase resident alien. So they're nationally from somewhere else, but they live pretty much permanently amongst the people. So in our versions, if we have alien at the end, of course, youngsters, we don't mean people, beings from other planets. That's a way of saying people from other countries. So listen, verse 33, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark. So they've got the ark in the middle. They've got the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, and half of the people in front of Mount Gerizim. So there's a mountain on that side, that's Mount Gerizim, and there's a mountain on the other side, so they're in a valley, Mount Ebal, half of them in front of Mount Ebal. Listen, here it is again. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first. And then, notice in verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. Okay, just as Moses had commanded, so Joshua and the people of Israel are doing. What's that teaching us? It's showing the readers of Joshua, look at the obedience of the people of our fathers when they came into the land. Joshua is actually filled with this phrase. This phrase, just as, it appears 27 times in the book of Joshua. 27 times. But it only appears 62 times in the whole Old Testament. So in the whole Old Testament, that little phrase, just as, appears 62 times. So nearly half of the occurrences are just in the book of Joshua. So I'll read some of them out. Not all of them are connected to just as Moses commanded. Some of them are just used in other ways. But loads of them are, which means this is a theme in the book of Joshua and something that the people of Israel, the people of God, are supposed to pick up on. So I'll read some of them out. In what, chapter 1, verse 17, we have, just as we obeyed Moses, and they're saying to Joshua, we will obey you. Chapter 4, verse 8, and the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, just as the Lord told Joshua. Chapter 4, verse 12, as Moses told them. 6, verse 8, and just as Joshua had commanded, so the people did. Chapter 10, verse 40, just as the Lord God of Israel commanded. It appears in a whole cluster of times in chapter 11, which is the end of the fighting portion of the book of Joshua, where it's gathering up all of the battles, and it says, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded in verse 12, from verse 15 right down to verse 20, you have the phrase twice, and it's the same thing, just as the Lord commanded Moses. What's the point? The point is, when the people of Israel are reading about Joshua, and they're thinking about the success that they had of entering the land, they're thinking, these were a people who stuck to what the Lord had commanded through Moses in the book of the law. And that's what we have in our verses, and that's the focus. The book of the law of the book of the law of Moses is in verse 31, and then the book of the law is in verse 34, at the top and the bottom of our little cluster, and right in the middle, Joshua writes the words on the law on the altar. That's the focus. Now, here's what we're going to do. Because I think one of the ways to get this in our system and feel it a bit more, because I suspect, I may be wrong on this, but I guess someone had to make the call and this is what we decided to do. I suspect we don't really feel the dynamic of the law, that is the way that the law works, that well. We don't really feel the weight of the necessity of obedience, the consequences that go with it, and maybe we don't even know the Ten Commandments that well. So what we're going to do is we're going to reenact the blessings and the curses, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and it's going to take about 10 minutes worth of reading by me, because I'm going to read out the blessings and the curses, and I'm going to read out the law. Now, you may think, wow, that's a lot, Dave. It's nothing compared to what they did. It's most likely, where it says here that Joshua read out the law, he probably read out all of the book of Deuteronomy, which might be about a four-hour reading. I'm only going to do the Ten Commandments, and then I'm going to do the blessings and the curses at the end, because that's what he specifically says was read out. And I'm going to trim the curses down in half. Otherwise, it just goes on too long. And what we're going to do is we're already divided in half. So what we'll do is we're all going to stand up. So let's all do it. You all stand up, and you all stand up. And if you can, try and scooch yourselves a little bit. So if it's possible, everybody on this side, go that way just a little bit more. And if you can, scooch yourselves that way a little bit. All right. Now, I've got loads of tabs in my Bible here so that I can move quickly through them all. Right, here's the thing. Okay, so the way that it's working, just because in case there's a lot of information coming at you, right, you've got a mountain up on this side, okay, and you guys are on the side, you're a bunch of tribes of Israel, and there's the mountain of blessing up there, okay, so you guys are all representing the blessing, okay, and there's a mountain on this side here, and this is the mountain goes up there, and you're the other tribes of Israel, and you're representing the curse, okay, you're split in half, because there's only two options, all right? There's not a third option here. There's only blessings or curses, right? We've come into the land, and we're established a beachhead, and this now is our constitution. This is the law of the land. And the God that we worship, we've built this big stone here, and written on it are at least the Ten Commandments on it. That's our code, right? I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. That's going to be our code. There's our law. And then we're going to read the blessings and the curses so that we can feel what the two options are for our conformity to that law, okay? And that's we're going to be constituted as the people. And then we've got all these nations around us. They're out in Wakefield. And they're over in Leeds and Manchester, all these towns and cities, and they're hostile. And they want to come and kill us. So it's like life and death. We've got our kiddies and everything, okay? So here we go. These are the Ten Commandments. The Lord says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. 4. Observe the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. 5. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. 6, you shall not murder. 7, and you shall not commit adultery. 8, and you shall not steal. 9, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Those are the 10 words. Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Here are the blessings. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them, and if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors and scabs and itch, of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king whom you set over you to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, and you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord your God will lead you away. See, I have set before you today life and death, good and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Amen. Take a seat. Well done for persevering in standing. I hope we can feel that. Because remember now, the nation of Israel, in order for them to be successful, you've stood there, you've heard it, they listened to the whole law. Some questions for us. How much would it have gone in to you? How much would you have felt the seriousness of it? And how confident do you feel about your future? Don't forget, we've already had the episode with Achan. So what's the deal with Achan? Achan, he disobeyed the command of the Lord once. He took some of the devoted things. He brought them into his house. And what happened? The whole nation suffered. So this commandment is not, if you individually do it, you will be blessed. Don't worry about the others. It's a corporate reality. You all must do all of the commandment in order to live in the land. You cannot break the commandment of the Lord. You cannot go astray. Not one of you. Just imagine now if we were the people and just literally us, not even the whole nation, just us in this room, we're doing this. If one of us goes astray to serve another God, if one of us does not hold the 10 words in front of our eyes and do them and keep them by breaking the Sabbath, by not being a truthful witness, by worshiping, by having another God before the Lord, by using his name in vain, by coveting somebody else's things amongst us. That's the people of Israel in the land. They have life and death set before them. Now, here's the thing. And it's a surprising thing, isn't it? Who doesn't want to live under good laws? We all do, right? We all want a nation with good laws. And who doesn't want to live with justice? Presumably that's what we all want. That's what I read about in the news. It's mostly concerning injustice. We want good laws in the land. We want good leaders in the land to implement and maintain the good laws. This is what we want. And here we have the people of God with the best lawgiver, with the best law. Who can argue with the law? It's a fantastic law. And we'll leave aside for a second the question of whether we want justice. Because here's what I want us to do now. The people of Israel, they should see this law. They should know to themselves, our future hangs on whether or not we keep this law. Now, here's what's happening. There are two ways to live in the world. We're going to bring all our threads together. There are two ways to live in the world. This way that we have, that we've read out, what Israel were living by, is the way of all the world. Everybody gets this way. The Bible talks about this as the way of works. What's happening is Israel are like a national corporate Adam. Remember? They've been placed in the land. It's a land which is like Eden. And it's like God has moved from Adam in the garden with his two options. Remember, he has a tree that will lead to death. And he has a tree of life with him in the garden. And here we have a national corporate Adam in a new land with a way of life and a way of death in front of him. What we have is we have before the people of Israel, just as we had before Adam, the way of works, which is the way of obedience and reward or disobedience and punishment, curse. And everybody knows this way of living. And this is the message this morning. The message is, do you want to live the way of the law? Or do you want to know the way of promise? Everybody knows this way of living. We do it in our lives all the time. we create laws for ourselves. Either we create laws just for ourselves, and if we, the degree to which we conform to our own laws, we believe we're going to achieve our heavens, our blessings. And the degree to which we don't keep our laws, we think we're going to result in our curses. And we do this with other people. We set up standards for them. The degree to which they live out those standards, we provide blessing, we give them our blessing. The degree to which they don't live out those standards, we make sure they know about our curse, that we give them our frown, or we give them our distance. This is what we do. We function this way all the time. This is how all the other religions work. All the other religions work in exactly the same way. It's built into our system to do this. We have the law of God written on our hearts, and we know how the dynamic of the law works. I do good, I obey, I get reward. I don't do good, I don't conform, I get curse. It's just built into us and written everywhere in society. Islam functions this way. It's just a massive big carrot and a massive big stick. That's just how it works. Other religions function in the same way, and even the irreligious function the same way. They just make up their own standards. They hold people to them. They do it publicly. They basically say, they teach it in school. These are our rules. Our rules are you must accept everybody and you must offend nobody. And then when you offend somebody, they take you aside, they give you a little chastising, and they teach you. Did you not know the rules? The rules are you don't offend anybody, and now we're making you feel naughty about it, and we're going to retrain you to come back into the world, to never offend anybody, and be a happy person who pursues money and pleasure, just like all of us, because that's our God. So fit with the rules, play the game, and you will be blessed. Don't fit with the rules, and we will all frown on you and poo-poo you and say to you, tut, 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 until you hate yourself and wish that you would come back into the blessed realm of the people who say, we never offend. We all say, all religions are kind of the same. Everybody has their own options. Don't offend people. Those are the rules. We all know how to play it. And sometimes we're so swimming in it, we don't even know that that's what's happening. Everybody's doing it. You cannot escape the dynamic. What's happening with Israel? This whole story is setting it up so that we all feel, and the nation is trying it. If you had the best laws and you put them in the land and you provided everything for them, how would it go? And the nation of Israel, from this point on, is a failure. And there's a massive lesson for us here. We cannot establish the kingdom of God. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven by our conformity to the law. There's two ways to live. And that's one of the ways. But here's the other way. Maybe you noticed or maybe you didn't. But that altar which has the words written on it is an altar. And there's a sacrifice on it. Sacrifices for sin. And so the people of Israel, I think there are two ways to look at it. There's the proud man's way who looks at it and thinks, yeah, I'm going to do that. We're going to keep the law and we're going to get the land. He's the man who forgot that the story started at Genesis 1. He thought the story started at Genesis 12 with Abram. Then there's the humble man of faith who looks at the law, looks at his own heart and says, I love that law. That is a good law. But I am not going to keep that law. And if those stones weren't written on an altar, then I'd be out of this land. The only way I'm in this land is because those words are written on an altar where my sins are, something is dealing with my sin. But that altar can't possibly be the end of the story. So I'm looking through this good law. I love this law. I wish I could keep this law, but I'm not keeping this law. But I see that God must be providing a way to fix this problem of me. And that's precisely what God does in the Lord Jesus. That's why it's so important that Jesus, when he comes to the crucifixion, he was found innocent. He was righteous. If we had the time, we'd read the Gospels and look at Pilate and even his wife. I had a dream about that righteous man. Don't touch him. Pilate searches him, does the inquiry, he sits on the judgment seat. I can't find anything wrong with this man. The whole story is Jesus being righteous. Because what is he? He is, if Israel is a national corporate Adam, Jesus is an individual corporate Israel. He's representing the whole of the people. And he lives the life, he keeps the law. He does the just as Moses commanded, all the way through, perfectly spotless. And so perfect justice for him is blessing. He's got blessing by right. He kept all the law of Moses. No Israelite and no human has done that. If justice were to be enacted for all of us, we are all out of the land, out of the kingdom. But Jesus lived the law of Moses, and he represents an Israel that we were supposed to be. And so for him, what falls down on him is the rightful blessing. But what happens? Galatians teaches us this, right? This is the gospel. This is the message of Christianity. He took upon him our sin and became the curse for us. He became the curse. He took our sins, our law breaking, put it on him, and he became cursed for us. So that in him, all the penalty, all the curses have fallen on him. So that the blessings that are his by right, as he rises up out of the grave, triumphant, saying, you can't keep me down here because I'm the righteous man. I was righteous. And now I stand as the one who has the right to the heavenly blessings. They're mine by right. And every single person, Paul says, if you, by faith, connect yourself to Jesus, you become a son of God who has the rights of an heir to the eternal inheritance. Because the curse has fallen on him in your place and all the blessings now belong to you. That's the beauty of the gospel. This is all playing out in front of us to teach us we cannot go the way of the law. We need somebody to have lived the law in our place on our behalf, carried the curse for us, and by faith, we are united to him. He is on the altar, and he's both the law keeper. He's fulfilled the law, he's fulfilled the curse, and he's done it for you, so that you can be in the everlasting kingdom with him forever. And that's the good news. Does that mean that the people of God then throw out the law? I don't think so. I think we come back and we say, there's two different ways to look at this. We look at it now in a completely different way, and it makes all the world of difference if you think of the law as the way to blessing, or if you think of the law as something that flows out from the blessing that's been given to you. You either use the law to work to God, or the law is a guide to help you in your life for God. And there's a whole world of difference between that. That's the difference between somebody who understands Christ and the gospel and somebody who completely doesn't understand. That's the difference between trying to earn your way to heaven and by faith trusting that God has given you heaven. And that is the way of the Christian people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you so much for giving us your Son. Just incredible things that we could dwell on so much more. Thank you, Jesus, that you lived in our place the life that we ought to have lived. Thank you that you bore the curse for us And thank you so much that you have given us every spiritual blessing, that all of these blessings are now ours. And this whole world, which is yours, will one day be ours as well. Not because of anything we've done, but because you have literally done it all for us. So we give you all the glory. And we pray that you'd help us to trust in you and to live in a way worthy of this great good news and this great work that you've done for us, so that you would be praised in all the land, because that's our joy. Amen.